Let me say it's good to have everybody here tonight, and let me say that it's good to be here on a Wednesday night. I've not been able to be here on Wednesday night, and I've asked y'all, and I do desire that you pray for me with that regard, because I do want to be here on Wednesday night. And right now I can't, I want to. When it works out I can, I will be here. And it's worked out where I can be here tonight, and I'm thankful to be here tonight. Like I said, this is a Wednesday night. I won't be preaching. That means if you got a question any time, you can ask it. And I used to ask questions of my pastor while he's preaching. And I just had never been in church and didn't know nobody. He'd been up there preaching like a wild man. I'd say, "Brother Rick, what's this mean?" Anyway, tonight we won't be preaching. I'll be teaching tonight. And we won't be in no hurry. So if anybody's got anything on your heart tonight, we'd be glad to do our best to try to help you. Give you a Bible answer. That's one thing about the Bible. If they ever do away with the Bible, we'd be at a terrible deficit. Because the Word of God is from God. It's as eternal as God is. It's the light that every man, when he approaches to, sees the darkness that he has. This Bible is in a category all its own. I mean, you can read Reader's Digest and you can conquer it. But you cannot conquer the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible conquers you.
Amen.
The Bible always brings to light every hidden darkness. I remember the first year I read the Bible through, I spent more time on my knees. It was old me all the way, Sister Nina. I knew I was a sinner. I just didn't realize how big a sinner I was.
Amen.
Until I got in the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. I want to read a couple places here tonight. I'm just going to speak a little bit tonight on tolerance. I know we do have some young people here tonight. I'll do my best to be discreet. But I picked up a little track over at Bethel Baptist Church. And I went online because I thought this thing is so good that I'd like to buy a dump truck load of them. But I did finally find them, and they're 60 cents a piece. That's kind of high. I'm still going to pursue trying to get some of them, but I'm going to read you some things out of this tract tonight. And I want to start, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 5. I'll read 17 verses here. Now, the world tells us to be tolerant, but it's a one-sided tolerance, and you don't really see it. I mean, it don't really knock you down, but the way they want you to be tolerant is they want you to be tolerant of their ways, but they don't want to be tolerant of God's way. It's a one-sided tolerance. And that's why things are getting darker, is because the Bible talks about the devil being cunning, and he is. And Paul talked about the wiles of the devil. He said, "We're not ignorant of his devices." And since people aren't that familiar with the Bible, they fall into many hurtful lusts and snares. And I'll elaborate on some of this here in a minute. I'm just throwing a few things at you here tonight. But in Ephesians chapter 5, I'll read 17 verses starting in verse 1. And the Bible tells us, "Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Now, these are some sins. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints. Now, does anybody know what fornication is?
Sex before marriage.
Thank you, Anita. She's exactly right. What's adultery?
Sex after marriage.
Right, well, someone else. Exactly right. But notice it says uncleanliness or covetousness. Uncleanliness means you've got some bad habits. Covetousness means you want somebody else's something. And it could pertain to anything. Their wife or their money or anything. Maybe you want their position at work or whatever. Paul said, "I've coveted no man's gold." I think covered no man's silver or something like that. But it goes on, "neither filthiness." You know, I used to have a filthy mouth, and most of the things I said fell in this category here. I seemed like I didn't really have much to say worth hearing until I got saved. Then nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. But neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. In other words, if you spent the right amount of time giving thanks, you wouldn't have time for the other. I agree with Melvin Sisson. He said he felt like every day ought to be Thanksgiving. And he said if we did give thanks like we should give thanks, he said there wouldn't be no room for nothing else. I agree with that. But it says, for this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, that verse right there tells me I can't be tolerant of some things. It says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. If you'll read verse 1, you'll realize he's talking to children of God. And he tells children of God not to be a partaker of certain things, and we'll get to that here in a minute. Verse 8, he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, and I was. I mean, I was darkness. I didn't realize how darkness I was until the light of the Word of God showed me my darkness. I mean, I looked at my darkness like I wasn't. I look at Brother Hyde, I say, well, I ain't no worse than Brother Hyde or anyone else. I just looked back there and seen him. But I compared myself to others. I thought, I'm as good as they are. And you know, I don't know what it is, but I was about Luke's age there at school. Luke, you may do this too already, I don't know, but as long as I could get somebody else to do what I did, I didn't feel too bad about it. You ever done that? Try to get someone to partake in something you did, like, try it, or you do it. I dare you. And after they done it, you felt a little better about what you was feeling bad about, didn't you? Because I thought, well, they just as guilty as I am. They kind of offset some of the blame. But when I was about Luke's age, as long as someone else done what I felt bad about, I felt better about it after they did it.
That's what my brothers used to do to me.
Drag in it.
They make me do something bad, and they have to get the blame for it, and they feel good about it.
Well, that's kind of the way darkness is. That I was in darkness, but in that darkness, I compared myself to others, and also in that darkness, I tried to offset the blame on others. And I thought, well, they just as guilty as I am. I ain't got to worry about it as bad now. But Paul here says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Now he's talking about it's different now. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what every saved child of God that says they're saved, they ought to walk in the light.
That's where he tells us to come out from
among them. Right. You're right. Yeah, we'll read that here in just a minute. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. And the world does want you to prove yourself. They don't want to just hear you're saved. They want to see you're saved. The Bible talked about we're gazing stock. In other words, they hear about Melvin getting saved, and they say, we'll see about that. We'll see how long it lasts. They want to know how long it's going to be before you fall off the wagon. And that's why we need to prove it. That's why the world, after they scrutinize us, after we become their gazing stock, they say, I'll tell you one thing, there's something different about Eddie Wade. I remember my cousin talking about his wife. He's like me, he didn't know what to do with Santa Ford getting saved. And all he could say was, he said, Eddie, he said Sandy's going to get baptized 2 weeks from now. He said, Eddie, that ain't like Sandy, is it? And, you know, she had proved what was acceptable to the Lord because she had made a date to get baptized. And that's one thing people ought to do. They ought to get saved. They ought to get baptized. They ought to join a church. They ought to stay in. They ought to read their Bible, learn about this Jesus. I mean, there's just certain things you ought to do after you get saved. Verse 11 here is the main reason I've read all of this. He says, not disprove what's acceptable to the Lord, but he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, don't condone it. Don't say, well, you know, and I know it's been recorded, and I'm kind of glad it is, but Piers Morgan asked, is it Ken Shamrock? Is that right? Ken Shamrock? The one played the movie Courageous?
Kirk Cameron,
thank you. Who said that?
He did.
All right, Kirk Cameron, yeah. Piers Morgan asked Kirk Cameron, he said, is homosexuality sin? And he kind of done his shirt like that right there and said, well, let me just say like this, me and my family, we don't practice it. Now that's offsetting. You know, he didn't really address it. He just kind of walked around it. But the Bible says, reprove them. That would have been a good time. I'd like to have been on Piers Morgan. We went to a commercial break for sure. But it says to reprove them. For it's a shame.
Brother Wayne.
Yeah.
We've been having some issues with Jesse.
Yeah.
At school. You wondered why he had to come home and the bullying hadn't happened. Jesse buddied up with the bad kids at school. And he wasn't doing what they were doing, but he was hanging out with them.
Partaker, yeah.
And we were not happy.
Yeah.
And we were letting him know that if he really cared about them, then he needed to, because they didn't care about him.
Right. And she's right.
They, you know, they,
Jesse,
well, we'll,
they don't care about you. Yeah. I hung around that bunch myself. Yeah.
And
I hung around that bunch myself. I thought, you know, I fit in everything. And like she said, they don't really care about you.
We let them know that they didn't care about him. Not
yeah.
truly, because they'd throw him under the bus in a heartbeat.
They absolutely. She's telling the truth.
And we told him, they said, if you truly care about them, if there's something you truly care about them, when they cuss, when they defy their parents,
right.
when they're smart alecks, when they're talking about fighting or smoking or chewing dip and all these things that they do, whatever all that stuff is
yeah.
to do, you'll tell them. And he said, well, Mom, you know, they say things, other kids pick on you and all this kind of stuff. I said, I would rather them think that I was a fanatic and crazy
right.
about Jesus, and I just throw my hands up, I'm going to pray for you. Or tell them that that's wrong and reprove them like this says.
Right.
And it took us a while, and I'm not at school with him. I don't know what he's doing now or not doing. But his behavior changed. You know, he stopped being so.
We're going to get a verse on it here in just a minute about that.
He stopped being so defiant after that, because that's where he was defiant at home. I mean, he was smart mouthing. He was
yeah.
doing things about hitting people and stuff I've never heard him say. And then he spent last night looking up 22 verses in the Bible
well,
to honor your parents, because he had a friend who, it was a teenage girl that got in a fight with her mother, and they were apparently it got physical. And the mother kind of shoved her. She got up and just decked her mother, just hit her. Well, somebody called the police. The police told the girl that it was okay. She
yeah.
You had the right to defend yourself. And Jesse said, well, police said it was okay. I said, the Bible don't say
well,
it's
true.
Okay.
Please,
I mean, I made him read 22 verses in the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, my looking them up and flipping them over and
yeah.
making him read them.
My wife really read Ephesians chapter 2, verse, chapter 6, verse 2.
And
because you won't live too long if you don't know any mom or dad.
He read that. He did. And, you
and
know,
I've been seen it in action. And God,
I know his reason
yeah.
is because they picked on him so
yeah.
long. I know what it does. You know, that's like Melvin, he's even tried to talk to him, you know,
there's
a point you get angry, but you can't act on it. You just can't.
You love the Lord, don't you?
You need somebody else to do it. But you know, they'll get away from you. If you throw your hands up and say, I'm gonna pray for you, they're gonna say, oh God, every time they're gonna humiliate me because they're gonna throw their hand up and say, I'm gonna pray for you. Every time they hear me.
You love the Lord more than you love them boys. Tell them boys about the Lord then.
Well,
that's
what
they need. They're not gonna want it, but they need it. You need to tell them there's something different about Jesus. Yeah. Yeah.
Set an example.
Sure, like Brother Melvin said, you can actually tell them without even saying anything. Like Brother Melvin said, just set an example. They'll ask you.
Yeah. Everybody, and I asked them,
something different about you.
I said, do you remember that song that Melon has us sing in church? You didn't tell me.
Yeah.
You know,
you never told me about him.
You never mentioned him to me. And I said, all them people's going to be over there in hell.
Yeah.
You're going to hear them.
Yeah.
Jesse, you knew it. You didn't tell us.
Right.
But you would be down there with them if you're partaking in it. But Saturday, he prayed. He went to Emmaus with me.
That's good.
And he prayed and, you know, and everything. And he told me everything was all right because we were fixing to take communion. I said, Jesse, don't you take communion? I said, it's a serious thing. Everything's right between you and the Lord. I said, don't you take it. I'm not judging you. But he closed his eyes and he said that everything's all right. So he done what he felt to do. But then last night, he told us about that girl. And I made him read scripture. Some of that scripture is like what you
said. Hey, I envy you, buddy. I didn't have a mom like that. Wished I had her. I was kind of, for lack of better words, I learned everything the hard way. Your mother's trying to help you there, Jesse. She really is. You would appreciate that. But I appreciate, I don't have no problem with the interruption. I appreciate the input and the comments because that's what I like about Wednesday night. I'm not preaching. Y'all can, hey, Brother Eddie, what about this? Anytime you want to. That's what I'm here for.
But I know that everybody here loves him, and y'all are his Christian family, and you'll encourage him to do that.
Absolutely. We love you to death, buddy. Well, Brother Eddie, I'm just a phone call away, and I'll get here as quick as I can if you ever need me. It says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Notice that they're done in secret. It's funny when things are done in secret. It ain't funny when you get caught. But it's funny to kind of sneak around and do things. I don't know if y'all watched the news much this week or not. But on the news this week, there was a 92-year-old war veteran. And these juveniles broke into his house. And they took all of his medals and they painted them with spray paint. They spray painted his couch and the walls and everything else. And that was funny to them. But they got caught. And it wasn't funny after they got caught. But he said, I never hurt no one. I never bothered nobody. And he's just a nice guy. It's kind of sad. But it says here that they do things in secret. The reason they do it is because it's a shame to do what they do, but they laugh about it until they get caught. And then they try to find somebody to blame it on. That's what you'll end up being, Jesse. You'll be the scapegoat. They'll lay the blame on you. Verse 13 says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's one thing about this Bible. If you start talking much about this Bible, people will disperse unless they know the Lord and love the Lord, because this Bible makes things manifest.
Amen.
It's light. The Bible talks about itself. The entrance of His Word giveth light. And for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore He saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And Molly mentioned about being a father to you. Come out among him. We will be reading part of that here. We'll start in verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has unrighteousness? What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? I was listening to the radio on the way up here. And they was talking about a college hired an atheist counselor because they had atheist students and they didn't feel comfortable counseling with someone that knew the Bible or was a theist or something like that. They wanted someone that could be sympathetic to their atheist views. And what part does he that believeth with an infidel? I guess there's a partial truth in that. That they don't want to know about faith because they're infidels. They don't want to know about light because they're darkness. They don't want to know about Christ because they're full of the devil. If you read your Bible, you'll read in Psalms chapter 2, and it says, why does a heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. In Psalms chapter 2 verse 1, I'll tell you why the heathen rage, because they're full of the devil. The Bible said there's no peace saith my God to the wicked. But God gives us peace. That's why we don't rage. Man, He calmed my storm.
Amen.
I got a peace, boy. I mean, even in the midst of the hurricane, I got peace. That woman stepped on her front porch and there there this hurricane or tornado, I guess it would be a tornado, was right there at her doorstep. She said, Lord Jesus, help us. And it stopped right there and went the other way. That's what you do. Yeah, she knew what to do, Carolyn.
She was laying away with him.
Yeah.
Like he did when they crucified him, you know, away with him.
Away with him, that's right. They still don't want nothing to do with that Jesus.
Well, they turned away the best friend they ever had.
That's true. He's a friend of sinners.
But you know, Brother Eddie, it says here in 2 Corinthians, it tells us to walk by faith.
Yeah, that's true. That's what faith is. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Faith. James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. There's no way to see faith except by works. I mean, it's substance. It's not anything like somebody sees me read my Bible, packing my Bible, I'm showing my faith. Somebody sees me praying, I'm showing my faith. If they see me getting baptized or baptizing someone, showing faith. But
our everyday actions prove our faith.
That's right. That's right. That's true. She's right. We ought to be able to show faith. And that's one reason we're down here. We're the light of the world according to the Lord. And He said we're the light of the world and we don't need to put a bushel over our light. Nor put it on the bed. But it says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here's what Molly said a while ago. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons, and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, Jesse, one other thing here, and then I'll go to this. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, the Bible says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And what Anita was talking about, she said she's seen a little bit of a change in you. And really, you ought to be putting a little bit of change in them fellows right there. And you're allowing them to change you when you're the one that needs to be doing the changing. You need to change them for good. You need to... You know, if they're going to hang around you, you need to tell them about Jesus. You need to tell them they need to get saved. They're going to go to hell. Them very men you're talking about, them boys you're talking about, they'll hate you if they end up in hell. They'll say, you should have told me, Jesse, you knew the Lord. You didn't share Him with me. You didn't tell me. Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? But it will have an effect on you. Now, I've read all that right there, all these verses that I've read on the pretense of tolerance. And I'll take just a little bit of time right here. Now, this little old book, I have read it. Most people won't take time to read it. They might listen to a tape or a CD, but I want to read you some out of this book. This Hugh Powell, he's compiled this information. This is statistics and facts. I want you to listen to some of this. A former Montana elementary school teacher has just been sentenced to 20 years in prison and fined $25,000 for the sexual abuse of at least 45 young male pupils. The man showed little remorse. It is believed that he'd actually been ruining young boys' lives for 25 years or more. A Boy Scout leader in Georgia received 5 years for enticing young boys for indecent purposes. A U.S. congressman has been reprimanded for keeping a male prostitute on his payroll. A number of slayings in Indianapolis have been linked to the so-called gay community. One of the largest bank frauds in Indiana history involves a banker who has been a sugar daddy for his homosexual friends, taking them on shopping sprees to buy them necklaces, mink coats,
Cadillacs, and he embezzled over $2 million to keep up his homosexual buddies and pleasures. In New York City, a teenage boy killed a Catholic priest while defending himself against a homosexual attack. In California, a computer consultant was arrested with a dead Marine in his car and was then charged in the death of 14 other men in three states, all with homosexual connections. Across America, small children are being seduced and abused by homosexuals, and many of them end up being murdered. What's behind it all? What's the truth about homosexuality? Well, the Bible has plenty to say about it. Here's one of the scriptures, and there's several scriptures that this man, and it is good that he brought these in because they put it really to light. 1 Kings 15:11-12 talks about this King Asa, said he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land. He's also got here in Genesis about the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, that's Luke, and destroyed them all, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, Luke 17:29-30. And here's a lot of scriptures about homosexuality that he's put in here. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it's an abomination, Leviticus 18:22. But hairy-chested men in frilly dresses, blonde wigs, their faces adorned with makeup, ride tricycles in public, and dance with other perverts in San Francisco discos. Can you imagine that in a civilized society? Of course. It's under pretense of tolerance. Or the picture of other magazines of young boys on leashes like dogs solicited as male prostitutes. They are called gay slaves, and it is happening today. Asa was obeying God when he took away the Sodomites out of the land. And people today who stand up for the homosexual gay lifestyle have been misled and have missed the whole point. The homosexual battle is not with the bigoted fundamentalists, as they call us, but with the God of heaven and His Word. Critics say they quote from 1 Corinthians and Leviticus as if it were all there was to it. Other gay adherents say that anti-Sodomite scripture can only be found in the Old Testament and it means nothing today. It's not relevant. The liberal media, as usual, has grabbed onto a newsmaker that they're always anxious to get a juicy tidbit that's scandalous or sensational, and they smack their lips with even keener delight when it lends itself to the opportunity to scorn the hated fundamentalists. That's you and me. It has become great fun to ignore or misquote the Word of God while verifying those who dare stand for what's, or vilifying what those who dare stand for what's decent, God-fearing Americans have always believed in. And the very fact that we suddenly have a flood tide of abnormally sweeping in among us in an open movement of homosexuality clamors for attention and approval proves the accuracy of the very Bible that they deny and refute. Now, this track's pretty blunt, so bear with me here. Like I said, I'll try to be discreet. But why have we had homosexual laws on the books of our states for so many years? Why have homosexual marriages always been taboo? Why have normal people of all faiths or even no faith always felt repulsed by such activity? Why have people of culture and modest not even wanted to discuss the subject? Because homosexuality is totally unnatural, abnormal, and because our nation was founded upon Christian decency and high regard for the Word of God. Letters quoted in popular and liberal news magazines are now almost all pro-homosexual, which means that either decent Americans are too disgusted with the whole filthy business to want to discuss it, or the magazines are purposely picking the twisted paragraphs from pro-gays to further their cause. The phenomenon is not entirely new. Of course, there have been always some perverted people around. Otherwise, there would have been no need for God to warn us about it in the Word of God, and no need to list it with other sins which God can save men from. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Charles Gotez, a freelance writer and actor, writing in the Cincinnati Inquirer magazine, while reminding us that Henry VII, England's decreed homosexuality a capital crime, stated that if they think they have trouble with Jesse Hems today, they don't know what trouble is. They're lucky they're not living in ancient Persia under Zertosian law. Anyone with an axe coming up on a couple in an unnatural act was obliged to either behead the offenders or to kill them. Hindus and Muslims also took a dim view of homosexuality through their punishments, but they were not as severe as the Persians. Many classic Greeks were sometimes notorious for their homosexual lifestyles, believing that even the unnatural act was something of a prelude to a natural life later on. And Gotez quotes doctors who say homosexuality is more prevalent among males and females, and that gay pairs more frequently consist of young men and somewhat of an older partner. But our permissive society lets crime go unpunished, so it becomes more bold. And a telecast on the evening news recently revealed that hordes of young boys are working as gay prostitutes in California cities. One San Francisco man was jailed after being charged with sexual involvement with boys as young as 7 years of age in male prostitution and pornography. The charges included pimping, pandering, contributing to delinquency of minors, and molesting young boys. After the defeat of the gay right ordinance in Miami, sodomites danced in the streets and declared that they will come back stronger than ever, even singing the civil rights hymn, "We Shall Overcome." Now, when I was a boy, any man who were effeminate or who engaged in unnatural sexual activities were labeled as queers. And I still think it's true. One of them smashed a cream pie in the face of singer Anita Bryant in a Midwest city. She continued to be threatened and harassed until she lost her job and her advertising contracts after pointing out an effort to defeat Anita Bryant on the Phil Donahue show. She won the battle by boldly reading Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 28 from the Bible as millions of Americans listened and watched and cheered her on. And Donahue couldn't wait to conclude the program. Now, I commend her for that. I was telling Melvin a little bit about that. I couldn't remember it in detail. But here's one that would not be denied and stood up, and she cost her career. It cost her, you know, she lost her singing career. She lost all of her income and everything else, but she stood. The Bible talks about us being steadfast, unmovable. But some judges are now ruling that teenage boys can take a male date to the high school prom. From this, I just want y'all to be informed. You see, the main thrust of this track is to inform us. A lot of this, I didn't even know the extent of it. I'm sharing with you. And I believe the more we know about this, the more we'll say gay's not okay. We won't evolve like our president. But it says, go ahead there, Brother Melvin.
It's a Bible full of well, you know, as the days
and the tomorrow's over. He's right. Sir. Judges are now ruling that teenage boys can take a male date to the high school prom from this, and the determination of TV producers to glorify the homosexual relationship, one wonders how many more tragedies like the Gracie killings in Chicago, where one pervert sodomized and murdered 33 boys and young men hiding their bodies under his house, or the Jim Jones catastrophe, and wherever it is, Guadalajara, whatever, perversion was also part of this problem. All their victims are not killed, but many are scarred for life. In Atlanta, a psychiatrist was sentenced on 14 counts of committing sexual acts against children. He was also charged with sending pornography throughout the mail. Many of the children were photographed, were victims of this doctor. In DeKalb County, a coach in Georgia was suspended for molesting two teen members, ages 13. In Phoenix, Arizona, a teacher has been charged with molesting children. The chart revealed that he may have had as many as 141 young victims. A Catholic priest in Oregon has been sentenced for sexually abusing boys, presumably for the past 15 to 20 years. By the way, this is typical, and it does say this. This is typical of many Catholic priests. I don't really want to fill in the blanks here, but they believe in celibacy, and this is one way they get around it. Go figure that. But Atlanta papers gave the sodomites a full-page publicity in a recent Gay Pride Week celebration. You'd think the perverts had done something very wonderful for our society. But at the same time, a horrible orgy of sexual child abuse was being uncovered in Albany, Georgia, involving grown men and young boys who had been seduced by them. And these young children, by giving them candy and cigarettes, booze, drugs, and whatever, before enticing them into unmentionable acts. Authorities say that 28% of these so-called gays report having had over 1,000 different sexual partners, according to an article in the FFA Journal. So it's easy to see why the AIDS epidemic is growing. An FBI bulletin recently reported that a guide called Where the Young Ones Are listed 378 establishments, and please pay attention to this. This is facts. 378 establishments in 54 cities where child sex was marketed. Kitty Porn Queen, Catherine Wilson, who was arrested in Los Angeles, possessed a mailing list of 30,000 men who sodomized children. The National Gay Task Force has a priority policy goal, the removal of age of consent laws permitting sex with children in Hawaii. The age of consent has been reduced to 14 years. A boy who experimented with sodomites in a Midwestern city later married a nice girl, but began to act oddly. He continued to go out in the evening and was later found dead, hanging by his neck in a closet. A young woman in New York, Jersey, watched her brother die while he was only in his 30s. She told that he had a result of becoming a pervert. He developed VD and hepatitis with complications that went into pneumonia, and his doctor said that this was a result of his activities as a homosexual, and it killed him. And she said he died a horrible death. Now, I'm reading this just to inform you. You don't necessarily have to agree with this. I know in America we do have rights. You got a right to agree or disagree. But I had not been properly informed. And I'll tell you right now, I am not pro-gay. And I'm not for this at all. And it says, why suddenly do we have in our society a host of homosexuals plaguing perverts on the scene, and they are demanding their rights? What's right about it? That's what I want to know. What's right about it? Why would they demand rights when it's wrong? And they want to be recognized. They want to teach children. They publicly said, we will sodomize your young men in the showers and in the locker room. So don't put your head in the sand like an ostrich. Just listen up. They want to teach our children. They want to move in next to you. They want to pastor your church. And they are also ganging up. One member, just before God destroyed the cities full of them in Genesis 19, that they had ganged up to rape the two angels that came to Lot in Sodom, and would have succeeded if God had not intervened and struck them blind. Now, there ain't nothing mild about this sin. It's perverted. It's violent. And what has happened? Why are there suddenly so many of them? Where did they come from? It began with a breakdown in the Bible-inspired morality of this country. In the very same time that we outlawed prayer and the Bible in our public schools, we allowed a strange, permissive wave to take its place. And suddenly, about the same time that the schools were trying to cope with forced integration, it became improper to have any standards or discipline. And girls started going to public schools in shorts or in boys' clothing or tight-fitting slacks, simultaneously with the rock music culture spawning the female-looking boys with long hair, beads, and other feminine attire. School officials permitted this. Weak parents refused to take a stand against this. And I will say this, Anita's not a weak parent. I commend her. Weak parents refused to take a stand against this. And the unisex idea began, boys looking like girls and girls looking like boys. God's distinction between the sexes was for many erased. Now some of these strange female-looking boys are wearing makeup like the rock stars that they idolize. Preachers, along with educators and parents, should have stemmed this tide, but sadly far too many would rather be popular with their worldly passioneers than to have a sinking nation. So this has become an age of rebellion against God, against the Word, and against decency. And pornography is surging like an overflowing cesspool through our cities and through our schools. Much of this homosexual filth, soon for many who have tried everything and have just seen just about everything normal, will not be enough, and experimentation and exploration will lead to very unnatural acts, and their literature, most of which comes from the gutter. And
sorry, if I was going to bring judgment on the nation, what's going to happen already is, yes.
True.
I'll tell you something that I found out a few years ago. I was talking to a bunch of girls that were, I don't know how old they are when they go into Girl Scouts, but every one of the leaders of the Girl Scouts are actually teaching the girls to be
lesbian. She's right. Yeah, they purposely infiltrated the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts because they are attacking our young people purposely. This is
an executed
attack. It's not an accident. They're deliberately doing what she's
doing. And they're teaching the girls, some of the girls I talked to, and they said that they were teaching them that to be with a boy is harmful, how it will harm their bodies, how it will do a lot of other things to them, and that it would be better to express themselves to each other as girls. And I just could not believe my ears.
Right.
Some of the girls that have grown up since then are, you know, teenagers or something themselves, and some of them are grown women, and they said you just wouldn't believe.
Right.
And they wouldn't let their children be in it, but some of them are. You know, you think about it, you're raising whole generations like that, and they're going to tell how long it's been going on. And that's just in the Girl Scouts. That's somewhere they're supposed to be safe and learning.
Right. She's right. Teaching morals and character. But at an early age, boys aren't interested in girls, and girls aren't interested in boys. That makes them ripe for attack, and they know that, and they try to get in elementary and kindergarten age schools and introduce this and say, you're just like us. You're not interested in girls, or you're not interested in boys. And that's what they do. It's a deliberate attack. And they're not going away. They're defiant, determined. And I just want to make you aware of this so you won't be persuaded. But you know, you can put a ship in the ocean, and as long as it don't take water in, it'll float. But what happens to that ship if it starts taking water in? See, these churches are starting to take water in. A lot of them have done went belly up. And that's why I say to you, be steadfast, unmovable. Put on the armor. War good warfare.
Scripture says, when he has a company scattered, prepare the whole people. You know, it's the devil working harder than church.
Yeah. We're at an age, like Brother Melvin said, buddy, it's all hands on deck. This ain't one, it's all. We all need to pray.
And I mean earnestly pray for your young people, for your grandkids, your children. I pray for my grandkids pretty much every day that the Lord will put a hedge about them, that He won't let their minds be poisoned with this lie, nor their bodies be perverted with this sin. And He'll protect them from this. I do that. You should too. But they want the abnormal to be normal. They want to change the laws. They want the unnatural to be natural. They want equal rights. There ain't nothing right about it. And the consequences are children are going to be the ones going to suffer. Who's going to stand up for the children? See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to inform you tonight. I know this is a little bit uncomfortable. But with television programs insinuating that Bible Christianity is just fundamentalism, to them includes cults and all the weird sex and insects and everything. They conclude that all are wrong about homosexuality. So today, they're adopting, the abnormal and the perverted lifestyle, broken homes, daddyless sons, working mothers, and all of these they're using to contribute to their effort. But, and this is a long track, and I'm looking at the time back here, and I'm sure I wouldn't be able to read all this anyway. But
for God's to be hidden, it's hidden the lost. It's hidden because they were choosing for it to be hidden. If they go to church, they
learn about it. That's right. The Bible says that God's world blinds the minds. Let me read just a couple more excerpts from this, and we'll stop right at 7 o'clock. Gay activists want their recent San Francisco concave stated, it's no longer enough to say that we won't discriminate against you. We want our families, United Perverts, to be recognized by the church, the YMCA and IRS. One male homosexual who has AIDS was pictured in USA Today as he attended the Frisco meeting saying, just seems like the place to be. I'm right where things are happening. And I guess he is. There are more sodomites in San Francisco than any other American city, and more people there are affected with the AIDS disease than any other city. The place to be, one writer refers to it as a city that flaunts its pagan delights, thousands of them dressed outrageously, some of them pretending to be Jesus, clad only in pink high heels and a loincloth made of stars and stripes. Bring back the lions, they cry. Meaning they want Christians destroyed. Modern sex education backed by the NEA and ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and abortionists want the homosexual lifestyle to be one of the alternatives taught to students in government schools. It started in California, but spreading to all schools, and some schools have even brought perverts before the school classes to tell them how it's done. Others are shown pornographic films to stimulate such activity. Gay support groups are bringing up campuses. Hollywood movies are now showing perverted sex more and more as if it were normal. It's said that a number of movies as well as TV programs are glorifying sodomites and homosexuality. And I have the names of several of these films before me even as I write this. Don Whittemore in his AFA Journal frequently cites, watch out for Hollywood as you would protect your children from a loaded gun. For insurance rates continue to go up so we can cover the cost of treating homosexual disease and victims. Hospitals are groaning with their patients. Doctors are wearing face masks, gloves, and other protection because there's poison blood until some of them look like creatures from another planet or spacemen in space suits. But the sodomites continue to indulge in perverted sex, saying that safe sex is boring. For a while, the gay bars were losing customers, but it said they're back at it again. The so-called gay bathhouses were closed in some places at the outbreak of the AIDS epidemic. But now, according to the AFA Journal, the gay yellow pages in San Francisco list over 200 of them in American cities. Orgy rooms are not a describable of an indecent publication. They don't want to keep AIDS a homosexual disease. They want other victims. They want your children to be drug users, hemophiliacs, innocent babies to take the heat and stigma off of them. They will invade a church as it did recently in New York to scream out their obscenities and to desecrate the place. Don Feeder writes, their random, I don't want to read that word, makes the last days of Pompeii seem as a nunnery. It's any wonder that scientists say the outlook on AIDS in the U.S. is bleak, and global AIDS climbs right now to 266,000, and U.S. leads the increase. Another headline, and here's, I'll stop right here. I thought we're supposed to call them queer anymore, but a color photo in a news magazine picture, a mob of them in worship, mob of them in Washington behind a huge banner which read, "We're queer, we're queer, get used to it." Now, we're here, we're queer, get used to it, yeah. They are determined to take over, even as they did in Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroyed those cities, like Brother Melvin mentioned there. New York City has opened a school, your tax dollars at work, for homosexuals. The slightest reflection on them by the media brings an immediate storm of protests from the gay task force with hundreds, sometimes even thousands, of calls and letters. This is a rebuke to us for our indifference attitudes. What is an Oklahoma member of the American Bar Association calls this perversion, yet Atlanta police have had to recruit gay police officers for the force. Many of the ACT UP gays are said to be angry guerrillas, armed and violent, who barnstorm for civil rights. And California judges cleared the way for homosexual men to proceed with a lawsuit against the Boy Scouts of America and its national policy banning perverts as role models. Just this summer, the National Education Association, or NEA, at its 1990 convention declared war on American parents, with the most radical left-wing resolutions among them getting all children into school by the age of three, subjecting all the students to sexuality classes for all ages, and get this, homosexual teaching in the classroom, and even if they have AIDS, to keep up this classroom assault, you can get, I can't say this woman's name, Phyllis Salifri, report from Eagle Forum, 68 Fairmont Alton, Illinois zip code. This indeed is a crime against you and me. Many sodomites say they were born that way, that they cannot help themselves. But God, you may be sure, would not have made an abomination. But a well-known Masters and Johnson clinics states that homosexuality is a learned behavior, and that people can move in and out of it at any time. And this is also supported by doctors and scripture. And anyway, I just scraped the surface of this thing right here. I just want you to know, we've not been properly informed. You won't be properly informed. Well, I hope you got stumbled up on something like this, like I did. And I'll be honest with you, this is not going to go away. Little boys like we got right here, even tonight, they got their crosshairs on them. They want to get their hands on them.
Obama's speech, inauguration speech, he said he planned on, he's going to carry out the gay rights issue.
Yeah, that's right. He said he had three things that he wanted to fulfill, and one of them was jobs, and the other was the gay rights issue or something like that right there. Make it the same with everything else. Ain't that right about gays?
He might not have an opportunity. God might stop him. He's worshiping you almost anyway. You know, God doesn't think I'm this
way. Yeah, they done called him the second coming. Yeah, we need to pray, and I mean pray.
Well, you know, they took the Ten Commandments out of school and prayer and away with God, and you know, and they let the devil come right in. You hear all these shootings, you know, in school and everything, and all these queer stuff going on, you know, that's about the devil right in the school and took the God out of them. You know, we've had bad leaders in our nation, you know. Schools and also
government, you know. Yeah.
And we've got people that wouldn't stand up for God and what's right. They
should have.
They let
us down,
let our country down, the leaders have. They're blame brothers.
They would call what I just read to you hate speech. I would call what I just read to you an eye opening. information that we do well not to deny. Things aren't what they used to be, and the reason they aren't is because we've sat by and done nothing so long. I don't even know that there's anything that we can do. But they are adamant, and they're like an army, and they are organized, and they are going to eventually come into church, and like it said, come in desecrated. I don't know what all that means, but I got a size 11 foot right here, and I know where to put it at. And they can call it whatever they want to, but I'll tell you right now, I'll take them out the back door. Now, if they want to come in here and sit down, come in here sincerely, come in here and not cause a scene, I'll tolerate that. If they want to come in here and think I've got to put up with it, I'll see where I'll put that at. A size 11, I'll see where to put it at. They'll have nothing right behind it. Yeah, we know how to deal with that. But I want to stop right there, and I want someone to make a mention that we'll have a short business meeting tonight, and when I say short, I mean really ain't really got anything really heavy to discuss, but I'd like for someone to make a mention that we stop our Wednesday night and go to a short business meeting, if someone would.